Is it a plane? Is it a dream? The American Broadcasting Company presents The Search for the Flying Saucers with Walter Kiernan.
Thanks, Les. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Many have seen them. Millions have heard about them. It's the biggest who's it, what's it story of the year, the flying saucers. At the moment, we have a fellow up in a plane hunting a flying saucer, and good hunting to him. Standing by in various parts of the country are people who have seen a flying saucer. Not that they all agree in their description of the, well, the thing as a saucer. To different people, it takes different form. One woman said it looked like a five-room house. Many people see that when the housing shortage will be over. But explanations vary as much as descriptions. Walter Winchell says he has information that it's a new type flying wing. Andrei Gromyko says that maybe it's a Russian discus thrower who doesn't know his own strength. It has been suggested that a disc jockey on Mars is weeding out his old platters. That it's a radar anti-detection device. That it's natural phenomena. That it's a national psychosis. Half the people in the country are scared to death, and the other half never laughed so many. But whatever it is, it has taken our minds off taxes, toil, and trouble for a little while, and that's not bad. Now, suppose we start our trip around the country and hear from some of the people who have reported seeing these strange goings-on in the air. The flying saucers were seen in Upper New York State by Louis Stebbins, solid citizen, treasurer of Warren Country. Warren County, I should say. Let's hear him tell his story from Glen Falls.
Whatever it was, certainly created a lot of interest. And I say whatever it was because, frankly, I am still wondering. It was on Friday night, the 27th of June, somewhere between 9:30 and 10 o'clock. Our neighbor, Mrs. Caffrey, my wife and I, were sitting on the porch when we saw this bright, shining object moving in an arc-like path across the sky. The thing was about the size of an automobile headlight. And it appeared to be giving off a bright red fire from the front and blue from the back. We couldn't exactly say it was a flying disc we had been hearing about on the radio. Rather, we suspected it might have been a large meteor. I took a lot of kidding about the thing until the papers published a story about the American Meteor Society's report that a fireball, a type of meteor, may have landed that night in northern New York or Vermont. And I hope it was a meteor. Then maybe folks will stop phoning at 2 a.m. asking if I have found the cup to go with my flying saucers. That's my story. And now back to Walter Kiernan.
Thanks, Mr. Stebbins, and hope you find the cup. Well, the strange discs were seen, too, over Tennessee. They were seen there by a former sheriff and present game warden of Johnson City. I don't have his name, I'm sorry to say. I try not to have too much business with sheriffs. But anyhow, he tells us about it now.
Exactly when and where did you see your saucer, Mr. Brummett?
It was about dark 2 weeks ago, the day before reports were carried in the papers all over the country. I saw it from the front porch in Elizabethton for about 5 seconds. The front part of the object was oval-shaped. It was a dark bluish color and had a flaming red tail. It was moving horizontal to the earth just like an airplane, but it wasn't, for the light was quivering.
You say it had a red tail. Could it have been a falling star?
No, sir. I've seen many a falling star in my life, but never anything like this flying saucer before. It was too bright and too red to be a star.
Well, Warden Brummett, there's a rumor in these parts that the dancing disc might be atomic energy on the loose from Oak Ridge.
I don't believe that. If it had anything to do with atomic energy, the government would have announced it by this time, certainly.
Well, thank you, State Game Warden Ernest Brummett. This is Bernie Burleson speaking, and now back to Walter Kiernan.
Thank you, Warden. First time I ever said that. Well, the West Coast has had more flying saucers than any other part of the country. I hear New England is very jealous. But standing by our ABC microphones on the coast, our Assistant Director Monroe Manning of the World's Inventors Exposition and DeWitt Miller, Authority on Psychic Phenomena. So let's go to Los Angeles.
One of them, Mr. Manning, has offered a reward of $1,000 for the first flying disc to be presented to the World Inventors Exposition before tomorrow night. Mr. Manning, have you received any claims for the reward yet?
Yes, I have. Just a few hours ago, I was told there was a man outside with a flying disc. So I went out to see him, and I said, "Where's the disc?" He pointed straight up and said, "It's up there." I looked up, but I couldn't see anything, and I said, "Well, I can't seem to see it." He said, "Well, that's because it's composed of invisible gas." I said, "Gas?" I said, "Well, get it out of here. It might be inflammable gas, and if I take it inside, it's liable to set the auditorium on fire." I said, "Get going." That's the last I saw of the man.
So thank you, Monroe Manning. Last night, a resident of North Hollywood reported that a flying disc landed in his flower garden. First reports created a flurry of excitement, but a few hours ago, Army intelligence officers announced that the disc was a phony, probably the work of a couple of youthful pranksters. Our second guest, Mr. Miller, author of Forgotten Mysteries, has spent 15 years accumulating case histories of unexplainable happenings. How does the mystery of the flying saucers look to you, Mr. Miller?
Well, the first reports of the disc are the most reliable. They have little in common with the deluge of stories that exploded on the 4th of July. The two most credible original reports were those of Kenneth Arnold, a pilot, whose story started the whole affair, and the report of the crew of an airliner.
And you think the other stories are just imaginary?
We may call them disc mania. Brewed out of sad observation, hysteria, hoaxes, and the natural human love of telling tall tales.
But what do you believe is the basis for the original report?
I think the disc may be the result of secret experimentation by the Army and the Navy. This is entirely possible, despite official denial. Second, don't sell the Martians down the river. The disc may actually be from Mars or somewhere else in outer space. There have been many reliable reports in the past 150 years of strange things seen in the sky.
Well, thank you, R. DeWitt Miller. And now back to Walter Kiernan.
Thank you, gentlemen. As I say, many have seen the flying saucers, but not many claim credit for them. Down in Virginia, there's a fellow who says he may be responsible for the whole thing. He's not quite sure. But after what we've heard, who is? Anyhow, let's hear what Kyle Walker has to say from Roanoke.
And here's Kyle Walker, whose connection with the flying saucers goes back to a new game he's invented. Now, Mr. Walker, tell us how your game has anything to do with those saucers.
Well, my game is called Spin Sailor. It's played with lightweight aluminum discs. A few weeks ago, I decided that the game needed some publicity, so I turned over several hundred special duplicates of the disc to an advertising man who flies his own plane. I told him to drop them into the air over the Midwest, the Pacific Coast, and Canada between June 20th and July 4th.
But what's your advertising stunt got to do with the flying saucers?
Don't you see? Some of the gadgets are 2 feet in diameter, made of rubber, inflated with gas and covered with luminous paint. After starting to spin around in the air, they may go as far as 1,000 miles. And they would look very much as those flying saucers have been described. I'll admit I can't prove that the saucers are my gadgets swishing around through space, but they may be.
Well, this is Dick Knoll speaking, and now back to Walter Kiernan in New York.
Thanks, Mr. Walker. Well, that could explain things, but so far, anyhow, no one has been able to read the writing on any of these flying saucers, if there is any writing on them, if there are any saucers. Anyhow, ABC decided that if there are saucers flying around in the ether, why not send somebody up to look around to see just what they could see? So correspondent Bob McDowell of American affiliate WFMJ has been cruising around in the skies over Youngstown, Ohio, on the lookout for flying saucers. Have you seen any of them up there, Bob?
No, not yet. We've been cruising at about 3,000 feet over the northeast part of the city for the last half hour. We're flying in the approximate area where some Youngstowners have seen these flying saucers. Youngstown Airways has placed it out of Soho, the latest post-war tactics and Finanza monoplane, which gives us exceptional visibility here tonight. We're almost completely surrounded by glass up here in the cabin. Right beside me at the controls is Forrest Beckett. In the rear seat, George Reese, aviation and industrial editor of the Youngstown Vindicator. It's a beautiful night for flying here. It's clear. Certainly there must be a million stars overhead.
Up with the sky,
lighting up the sky, we should surely be able to see a flying disc if one came sailing through here. Flying saucers have actually been seen by three Youngstowners. City patrolman George Maxim declared he saw nine round objects sailing at high speed from south to north about 3 a.m. one night last May while he was on his feet on East Front Street in Youngstown. Maxim described the objects as rolling hoops or balloons moving at about 300 to 400 feet in the air. He said they resembled balloons used by meteorologists and were directly in line, one behind the other. The patrolman said he watched them until they moved out of sight to the north. Mr. and Mrs. Walter Thompson of Youngstown reported seeing a luminous round object as they said on their porch at about 8:30 p.m. Saturday. Johnson said his hobby is watching shooting stars, and he was certain that this object, which he said was clear-cut all around with no filing tail, could not have been a meteor. He said it floated slowly at a 45-degree angle toward the Earth and disappeared to the northeast.
General, back to Walter Kiernan. Thanks, Bob McDowell. Sorry you didn't see one tonight, but sound like I had a little interference from one. Well, interest in the flying saucers is not confined to our own shores. The British have a couple of theories as to what we're seeing. And here, transcribed, is what Professor A.M. Lowe, president of the British Institute of Engineering, says, direct from London.
Professor Lowe, no doubt you have been reading reports of the so-called flying saucers seen over America. As a leading British scientist, what's your opinion of them?
Well, I must say that in my opinion, it must be due to mass hysteria. I know you've got to be very careful nowadays. What with war, atom bombs, people feeling rather tired, and excitements of that kind, luck and so on. People like to believe things. And don't forget this. Everybody likes to say, I saw it. They think it's rather clever.
Do you think it might be an optical illusion?
No, I don't. I don't think so.
Do you think there's any chance at all that these flying saucers might be man-made objects of some kind?
I think it's very unlikely. There is just the rather wild chance that someone is experimenting with a new kind of radar foxing device. You will remember the radar camouflage which were used in the war, made of metallized paper. Well, if you imagine a rocket fired 200 miles high and discharging these saucers of some kind of metal, it just might be an experiment. But I don't believe it.
It's mass hysteria, eh?
I do. I always remember going to a spiritualistic seance, and I found that if I said, look at that lovely blue light, everybody else saw it too, although I saw absolutely nothing.
In other words, you really don't expect to see a flying saucer come down in Piccadilly Circus here in London, eh?
No, I wish to goodness I could. I'm sure poor old Air Ross would be quite surprised. I should be delighted.
How was that,
the only thing I've read about them so far is in Brighton. And, of course, Brighton, well, it's such a charming place, you might see almost anything there. And another man, by the way, said that he saw one of them flying so high that he didn't know whether it was a house, an aeroplane, or the top of a ginger beer bottle. Now, I think he was very lucky. But we don't have anything quite so strong as that over here.
I see. Thank you very much indeed, Professor Lowe. This is Frederick D. Opper in London. Now, back to New York.
Well, thanks, Professor. One nice thing about it, though, if a Britisher wants to see the Loch Ness Monster, he has to go to Loch Ness. Here, you can sit right on your front porch, wherever you happen to be, and you sit as good a chance of seeing a flying saucer as the next fellow. Well, there you have it, but what have you got? Undoubtedly, there is something to the story of the flying saucers, whatever they are. Fellow in his cup might be a poor witness to a flying saucer, but when sober, serious citizens around the country look into the skies and see a something, they can't be dismissed as eye strain or eye watch. I haven't seen a flying saucer, but I'm going up on the roof now. There's a telescope there, and if I can't see a flying saucer, I'll settle for Venus, any Venus. Mr. Griffith, will you bring us out of here?
Sure will, Walter. The search for the flying saucers was produced by our special events department, directed by Joe Graham. This is ABC, the American Broadcasting Company.